Hey, folks. Thanks for downloading and checking out episode 2 of the Make Life Podcast, a podcast where we interview ordinary people about the extraordinary things they do with their lives. I'm your host, Mike Spear, and on this episode, I talk with a former coworker and friend of mine, Russ McKenzie, or Russ McKenzie Wood. I didn't get confirmation on that. But me and Russ used to work together for a while, and Russ actually, you know, we haven't worked together for a few years. So after a few years, Russ had a little bit of an issue that he came up with where he got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and immediately did a complete 180 on his life, his lifestyle, and even the way he thought about life and everything in between. He actually has to, you know, he had to give up something pretty huge in his life, which was interesting. I mean, other than the fact that he needed, you know, needed to live, he gave up a lot, and he really, you know, took a turn for the better. And it's just a pretty great story and excellent chat that we had, where he talks about all the things and changes that he needed to make and where he's at in his life right now. So, don't mind that. Like I said, and I probably will say every episode, I have 5 dogs, and they bark as much, you know, when the wind blows. That's how it goes. So, so I talked with Russ for a little, we have a nice chat this episode. Really nothing else going on. So, just like I said, very interesting. He lost 100, as of the day we recorded, I think he mentions it right at the start, he lost 104 pounds in just a little over a year, which is pretty wild to me. And especially with all the changes that he made and everything like that. And very, very interesting story. And I learned a lot about cycling. So if there's anybody out there who loves cycling, which is interesting, and how it's not just about cycling, it's about freedom. I learned a lot of that stuff. Definitely a nice chat. So definitely enjoy. Listen, be sure to rate, review, subscribe. I'm still thinking if I'm going to just add a closing or usually just sign off at the end. I think for now, I'll just cram it all in here, and you guys can listen, and when the interview's over, the podcast is over. So be sure to rate, review, subscribe. It definitely helps. It's definitely interesting. I'd love to know everything. Right now, you can go follow me on at Make Life Pod on Instagram, and you can also go like the Make Life Podcast Facebook page. There'll be a Twitter down the line, but right now, if you have any questions or anything you'd like to say, I'd always love to read stuff on air, so you can also send an email to makelifepodcast@gmail.com. But I think Twitter will probably be a good avenue down the line to submit your questions and maybe just do an episode of people's questions and, you know, what people have done with their lives and tell your stories. So again, all right, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Enjoy.
Go. I think we're up and running now. So how you been, man?
I've been all right. It's been a hell of a thing the last few years, you know?
Yeah, from the sounds of it and from what I've seen. And we've known each other, I mean, how long now? How long were you with AAP?
I met you in 2012.
Okay.
Shortly after I started there. So I started in ADP August of 2012, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's been a minute now.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're doing, so you're just into programming now, pretty much.
Well, I'm not programming. What I do is really business analysis. Business intelligence, I should say. I do. I'm actually working here for a consulting firm and my role in this project I'm working on is pretty much product owner of data. So my client is a major retailer, basically I'm the product owner of their retail planning data. So
wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like a drastic change from what we were doing with plain old customer service, but you took the time and you went to, you got the schooling for all that and certifications and everything, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, really all I had, so it's funny you mentioned this because the journey to this job actually started back when I left ADP. Mm-hmm. I made a mistake I didn't understand what the interviewer was asking, something about SQL. So we dealt with SQL Server when we were on a very, 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 very low level at ADP, with the hand punch clocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Putting the files into, you know, putting the uploading data, that sort of thing. But I didn't realize that I said that I had a beginner knowledge of SQL, the language, the query language, for the job that I took after I left ADP. Well, I didn't have a damn clue what I was doing. So I had to learn on the fly, under duress, and, you know, just it created a new career path for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I use SQL Server all day long now. I use query language all day long.
So you got hired with your limited knowledge of it?
Because of a mistake. Of a misunderstanding. And
I gotcha.
You know, it was, I had to learn fast. So I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know? Exactly. But that's how you do it, right? You bullshit and get your foot in the door and then take it from there.
Yep. I didn't even know I was bullshitting, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
and it just happened that way. So in my current role, I'm dealing with data all day long.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting journey to get to where I'm at now.
Yeah, and it's nice that you can work from home a lot more than you previously could, especially with what's going on, and now that you have a daughter.
Oh man.
And she's how old? She's got to be around 2.5, right? About the same age as my son.
She's 2.5. She's I don't know, 2 years and 8 months tomorrow.
Okay. So, oh wow.
So yeah, her birthday's in December, and your son was around the same time. It was like January, right?
No, he was the end of December.
Right. So my Devin's at the beginning. Your son's at the end.
Yep. That's, yeah. That's I knew they were close.
I remember. I remember us talking. We gotta get these two together.
Yeah. No. And here we are, 2.5 years later, and that's not even happening.
Well, you know, parenthood, man. It's an all-encompassing, you know, kind of thing. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations with people fully intending to, you know, to do something with them or do something with them and with the kids with them, and it'll fall by the wayside. Both of us will just drop it because it's you know, it's a full-time job. You're not only you're working a full-time job to you know, every day, and then you have another full-time job waiting for you at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
But I you know, I love it. It's
funny, you fall into that aspect too. Like, I have to tell people that constantly, like friends of mine and even guys I work with that aren't parents, and I have to explain after I go through telling them, you know, how much sleep I did not get last night, and then I always got to make sure, you know, I follow it up with, but man, it's the best. There's really nothing like it.
It really is.
Which is true.
It absolutely is true. I have a friend of mine at work keeps hearing about the stuff that I'm going through with, you know, she's at daycare, so she's sick a lot, I'm in a very unique position. It really is on me. My wife commutes up to Union, the daycare is here. It's pretty much on me to pick up and drop off, and if something happens at daycare, to go pick up, or you know, that and I don't mind that. I don't mind any of it. He keeps saying, "You're making me not want to have kids." I'm like, "That's not." you're never gonna understand it unless you're in it, and I really adore it. It's finally something that I am absolutely 100% full force on good at. You know,
Exactly. And it just, you know, as long as you love and you care, it just comes naturally. Of course, you're gonna be good at it.
Right. Exactly. And that's the point. And the fact of the matter is, at this point, it's somebody new to talk to.
Yeah.
So, you know, she comes up with some crazy stuff, man. Just all the time.
It's the best.
And the things that she retains from, you know, things that we do when we're out, or like things that she's seen. Somehow she got onto Coco, the Disney movie.
Okay.
And I don't know where she was exposed to it, but she absolutely loved it. And like, there's some seriously, you know, macabre stuff in there. You know,
yeah.
It's Day of the Dead kind of stuff, and she loves it. Vampirina too. Like Vampirina, I know where she got where she got that. It was on one day, and she just when she was little, and we just had it on. She loves it.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, no, it's.
I know,
it's
we'd go on all day about stuff like that, right? It's because they're in that perfect 2-year-old range where like they're just picking up on so much stuff, and it's ridiculous. When the stuff my son is into, and how he's so hooked on stuff, and that he's hooked on the next stuff, and his memory is unbelievable. Like I can't believe some of the shit that he remembers.
Yeah,
and it was so funny. Like last night alone. I forget the reasoning, but my wife goes to me like, oh, you're such a – and she stopped herself because the kids are right there. And sure enough, my son fills in for it. He goes, Dick. Yeah. And all you can do is laugh. But really, I want to choke my wife for saying it so many times that he knows, you know, how to fill in the blank there.
Yep.
But it's just too funny when stuff like that happens.
Yep. We could go on and on about compared experiences with fatherhood, man.
But I know
that's
I'm
whole
sure,
other podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm sure I know, like from one of the main things I wanted to talk to you about. I know, you know, having your daughter was like, you know, was a huge influence.
Yes,
or I'm sure it was.
It absolutely was.
So you lost, how much weight did you lose?
As of this morning, 104 pounds.
Wow.
Since July of last year, so literally in a year.
Wow.
I mean, it's not without, you know. Look, I didn't just pick this up and do it. I had to have a reason to change. I always have to have a reason to change. You know, it's just something that's in my head. I've fought through. Just to give you a little bit of background, I'm actually also. 12 years removed from from pill popping, from a Vicodin, pretty heavy Vicodin addiction.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that I did not know.
I was 12 years this past April was my drop date. So I've always needed a reason to change, always. Mm-hmm. About a year ago, when you're in something, you don't know what's going on. You just, it's the new normal, right?
Yeah.
So, I was not feeling well. Looking back on it, I probably wasn't feeling right for probably, I would say 5 years. So that was 2013. Right around the time I got married, it was like around then that I really started to not feel great.
Mm-hmm.
I started to feel old, essentially. That was the best way of describing it. I didn't have a lot of energy. Stuff hurt all the time.
Now, is that just because of your size?
Probably. But also, I probably had unmanaged diabetes. Because looking back, so I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes on July 12th of last year. And looking back on it, the signs were there. I hadn't had blood work in years. Like I hadn't had any kind of serious blood work in a long time. They looked at, and the symptoms were there, you know, I was sick a lot. It took me forever to get motivated to get active. You're talking to somebody who was played soccer in high school.
Really?
And I loved it.
Your huge, huge love of it now.
Right. Exactly.
And huge Red Bulls fan.
Huge Red Bulls fan. Absolutely. that's a whole entire other podcast also.
Yeah.
I could talk about soccer and the Red Bulls and current state of affairs for about an hour straight.
See, and I'm far from removed from that. So that would be a learning podcast for me.
Yeah. We gotta spend more time together, Mike.
It caught and culture me on all that stuff.
But I was diagnosed last year, and looking back on it, the warning signs were all there. But I, you know, sitting in that doctor's office, and so here's how it started. I didn't feel well on Sunday of that week. Monday I had a friend of mine take me to the ER, and I actually thought it was cardiac, because cardiac problems do run very deep in my family. My dad, about 7 years ago, nearly died from aortic aneurysm. Wow. They did the surgery, and he's fought through it. He's great now. So that's one thing. So I thought it was cardiac. My legs were numbish. I don't want to say they were fully numb, because they weren't. They were just heavy, you know. I had tingling in my fingers. I was a little bit dizzy. So I went to the doctor. I went to the ER, because that was what was open at that time. And ER, I think, thought I was fishing for narcotics, because they sent me out of there with, and by the way, didn't look at the blood work. Sent me out of there with a prescription to Xanax and baby aspirin. A prescription to baby aspirin, by the way. Let's just discuss that. So...
unreal.
I went to a clinic a couple days later, because the symptoms were persisting, and I talked it over, and they said it's either vascular in my legs, or it's diabetes. That night I went home, and I hadn't had dinner yet, and my wife had a blood glucose meter, finger stick thing. From when she was pregnant, because she actually had gestational diabetes when she was pregnant with Devin. So I did the finger stick, and my blood sugar was 350. Now, normal is somewhere between 80 and 120. I was 350 at fasting. So I hadn't had anything to eat. 350. The next day I saw my GP, and he didn't even do additional blood work. He took the blood work from the ER and said, "Oh, you have type 2 diabetes. This is what you need to do." And he said to me, start walking a mile a day. Start walking a mile a day. And that's where really? I started.
That's,
yep.
That's a tall order right out the gate, no?
Not really. It's 20. Well, okay. Perspective. at that time, it was a mile a day was 20 minutes. It seemed like a long distance, and then I started thinking about it. I used to walk that far when I was commuting into Manhattan. When I was commuting to that job, I used to walk 3 miles a day. It's probably the only reason I didn't have an incident sooner was because of that kind of activity.
Kind of kept it at bay, right?
Right. So, I started doing exactly that and changed my diet, of course. Mm-hmm. Look, I had the tools, but with diet, it was a whole other thing. It wasn't just about, up until recently, I was logging everything that I put into my system. I kept to under 2000 calories, and really average about 1,400 calories a day.
And that's now?
That's right now.
Okay.
I'm still on medication. But it wasn't, for me, it wasn't just about cutting down calories. I mean, look, I've always had the suspicion. I read a lot. Michael Pollan is a hell of an author. He's written a whole series of books about food and the world and things like that. And the one that really got me, and I read a few years ago was called In Defense of Food. Basically, he takes apart the FDA. That's basically what he does. You know, he calls, for lack of a better term, calls bullshit upon the fact that sugar literally is in everything that we eat. Mm-hmm. Like if you pick up a box of pancakes, box of frozen pancakes at the grocery store, just pick it up, look at the ingredients. 4-1 odds that there's that high fructose corn syrup is one of the ingredients.
Yeah.
Think about soda, right? Soda is a can of soda literally has 4 times the daily recommended amount of sugar that we're supposed to have in a day.
A single can
of regular Coke has 4 times. 4 times. That's an incredible number.
Yeah. But prior to all this, you never gave that a thought.
I haven't had regular soda in years. My thing was beer. My thing was beer, man. Like I drank. Yeah. I enjoyed drinking.
I was gonna bring that up because I know your love of craft beer. You were making your own beer. You're brewing your own beer at some point.
Yep. I had to give up. I was home brewing and I was getting to a level where I was really considering opening my own business. Because I had enough people tell me that the beer that I was making was some of the best they've ever had. And people who have no reason to lie to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I started working on a business plan to actually open a home, a craft brewery, really small, like local kind of place. And I actually gave that up because I couldn't. I can't have that right now. At this time in my life, I can't drink beer unless. So here's the caveat, and we'll get back on the exercise bandwagon here for a minute. Unless I do something really extreme as far as activity level, I can't drink beer. And it's also about serving size. So I drive my wife crazy with this. I will look at serving sizes and I will eat that serving size.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I didn't really give a damn. I just ate what I wanted until I was not hungry anymore. And sometimes that was a little, more oftentimes that was a lot because I was nearly 400 pounds, you know?
Yeah.
I really got, the diet was really the first step. In the journey, changing that diet and changing my activity level. I mean, we work in technology. We're not running, we're not lifting, we're not doing anything.
Absolutely.
We're sitting behind computer, right. We're sitting behind computer screens and doing nothing really. So it became a matter of changing the way I deal with work also. I got a standing desk. I do I make sure that I get up from my desk at least once an hour. When I was working last year, I was actually in a job that I was working totally remotely. So the standing desk was here. I would go out for my walk, and I would come back. And I had some exercise equipment. I started doing that in August of last year, toward the end of August. I think it was around Labor Day, actually. I joined a gym. And I started going 2 to 3 times a week, additional to diet, oftentimes additionally to the mile plus walk I was doing. And you know, it's funny how it started. It started as a mile walk, and you know how Facebook has those memories, right? So I was looking at the posts from recently, and it's like, I was exhausted after like a mile and a quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then so I started going to the gym, started doing all that, and then it got to be about January, and I was probably in the best shape that I have been in my entire adult life.
That's fantastic.
And so it got to be about January, and I realized that I was really pretty good. I was really physically fit, and I needed to find something else. Well, I played soccer. I was started looking around for soccer leagues and, soccer leagues around around New Jersey. And a lot of them are pickup leagues and stuff like that. But that's not where I wanted to be. I'm a competitive person. I'm a highly competitive person. When I was playing soccer, I knew one way to do it. That was with reckless abandon. No one was gonna invite me back. If you see this 6'4" moose of a man coming at you with goalkeeper gloves and at full force, they're not gonna invite me back. So I decided that was not the way to go. I started biking, and I started small. I started with 3 miles, and that was a lot for me at that time. And it felt like so far. And, you know, I slowly increased that. So I went from 3 to 7, and then 7 to 12, and then 12 to 30. And then I started doing, like, and then I signed up, decided that I was going to sign up for Tour de Cure, which is a organized ride.
Yeah, you've been pushing that a lot on social media. I know.
Yes, I have. I decided I was going to sign up for Tour de Cure. And that's run by American Diabetes Association, and they do it, you know, in various cities, all around the country. I decided, if I'm going to go for it, I'm just going to go for it. And I signed up for the 100 miles. I've never ridden 100 miles. At that point, I hadn't even ridden 100 miles in a week. I hadn't even ridden 15, you know,
yeah,
15 straight. But I just started going, and I slowly increased, and I kept at it. And that was back in June, that ride, and I was ready. Like I was ready to go.
And determined too, I assume, especially if you were already building yourself up and doing it, and then you signed up. There's no way out at that point. You just got to do it.
Well, you know what? Do you want to know what actually kept me disciplined? It was the people who donated to the cause. I raised $1,200 in under 2 months for before that ride for American Diabetes Association. $1,200, Mike. It was like as soon as more than a few people donated, I knew that I was committed. Like there was no backing out of it. I wasn't going to back out of it. I wouldn't have intended to, but that was it. Like I had to do it. It wasn't just me. It wouldn't be just letting myself down. It would be letting a whole bunch of other people down also. Which is really, been the driving force behind this change in me. If it was just me, I probably wouldn't be this determined. But I want to be there for my kid. I just turned 44 in July, man. I know that my time is limited. I want to be there for as long as I possibly can. I know the genetics are there. My grandmother lives in San Antonio. She's 97 this September. So I know that the genetics are there. I can do this.
Yeah.
You know? I knew that I needed to do it. Now, every story, every fairy tale is going to have a setback, right? So here I was on mile 40. I turn the corner. My front wheel gets drops into a mile 40 Tour de Cure. I round a corner. My front wheel drops into a gutter. I panic. I crash. My pedals all bent up, and my bike won't shift correctly. Oh, I did another 25 miles before I bailed.
That's right. I think I remember reading about that.
But I knew that I wasn't going to be able to finish at mile 65 because I knew what was coming ahead of that, and I couldn't shift correctly. I couldn't shift the bike correctly. But I know I have faith because of my own conditioning at this point. I have absolute faith that I could have finished that rod. I keep saying want to finish the race. It wasn't a race. It was, I mean, all I was really doing was racing myself. Mm-hmm. And really that's all I'm really doing, period, is just racing myself.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're in the mindset now, and you know what? It's become a routine.
Right.
Which is a huge thing, because now, I mean, you had to completely change up everything, your diet, your activity, your mindset. And now that it's become the routine, I mean, it's not even just that it's easier. It's just that's how it is. This is your life now.
Yes, sir. And that's exactly the way it is. It was a complete lifestyle change. Look, crash diet, I know for a fact, from everything that I've read, crash diets don't work. They'll work over a short term. You'll feel great, but as soon as you drop that habit and go back, you're going to gain all that weight back, or you're going to lose the fitness. You're going to lose the ground that you've gained. Mm-hmm. This isn't like, for me, this isn't a just for now thing. Yeah. Okay. I'm trying my damnedest to pedal and diet my, to pedal and manage my diabetes into remission. That's the goal here. But I know that even if I do end up in remission, that I still can't change. If I drop it, I will lose all the ground that I have, and you know, I might as well never have made the choice a year ago to keep going to fight back. It's funny, in my 20s, I always said I wasn't gonna grow old gracefully. That's what this looks like. you know, I'm. Even with the minor setback, 65 miles is my distance record. I have not gone further than 65 miles. And you know, even with the crash and the subsequent did not finish, I've accomplished, and I was thinking about this, and really not from anything that I say like this is not from a conceited point of view, right? It's mm-hmm. it's from almost an outside of myself point of view, because I don't recognize myself sometimes when I look in the mirror. I don't recognize pictures of myself from 2 years ago.
That's wild. I never even thought about that, because you see, I mean, folks, they do an incredibly drastic change, and then it's really like you're looking at someone else.
It's everybody jokes that I've aged in reverse, and I feel like I've aged in reverse. I feel I'm 44. I feel like I'm 30. Like I gained back all the decade and a half that I squandered to eating poorly, to poor decisions, you know. I get to spend. Here's the real blessing. Going back to the fatherhood thing, I get to spend this time, where I'm feeling fantastic with my daughter, and with mm-hmm. my family. And really,
so you had a, well, I guess, you know what, your daughter was only a year old for that time frame. Now she's older and much more active.
Yep.
Because I was going to ask, I mean, if you notice as far much of a difference when, I mean, between then and now, but I mean, I assume so, and especially now that she's a lot more active, and so are you.
Yeah.
It's a world of difference.
Oh, it absolutely is. I can keep up with her. And you know, that's been the real kicker. I can keep up with her, and she loves it. I mean, she's an active kid. She's a tough kid. She's not. She likes the flowers. She likes she likes pink, but she also likes to wrestle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have to be able to keep up with that. She likes to run. She likes being active. She likes being outside and going to the park. And we started working on the bike, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got her a balance bike because really, if any activity, you know, any activity has really made an impact here, it's cycling. I joked it.
Yeah.
I joked it that my lifestyle is a lot like riding a bike. You can't, if you stop pedaling, you're going to fall over. And that's exactly what it is. I can't stop pedaling. I have to keep going for more than one reason, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
So the other bit, so I bail at mile 65. I start, everybody knows me at this at the ride because I'm the one diabetic that signed up for the Century.
Yeah.
I'm the one guy.
Amazing.
My bib number was 100, and there was a reason, you know?
Yeah.
I started talking about the organizer, talking with the organizers, the one organizer, and, you know, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to, and like the athlete in me always needs a game, right? Always needs the next game. The next event I signed up for is September 8th, and it's Garden State Grand Fondo. Which is no bullshit kind of event. To spout a couple of bike terms, there's two categorized climbs. There's two timed categorized climbs on that ride. One of them has a max grade of 15%, which is no joke. I signed up for the 62 because the 100 mile, the 100 mile one, there's like five categorized climbs and I wasn't going to get through it. I knew it. I'm not there yet. Next year, maybe. But I knew I wasn't going to be able to get there to do that. Not as, and, you know, considering the bike I have, I don't have anything fancy. I have a Trek fitness bike because when I got it, I really didn't know what the hell I was. I really didn't know where I was going to go with this.
Yeah.
Was it ever
a manner of, I mean, because again, I guess if you didn't invest in a, you know, the top of the line bike, was it a matter of, I'm going to give this a shot and see if this is a good route to go? Or did you determine from the start that cycling is probably the best for me?
Well, I had a bike. I'd gotten a bike off of Craigslist back in 2016. One of my failed attempts to get active and lose weight. And it was a mountain bike. I was nearly 400 pounds. There was no way I was going to get a road bike because I would have bent it in half. And so I had this bike sitting in my garage for 2 years, 2.5 years. And I picked it up. I started going because it was obvious soccer wasn't going to work out. I just decided that... look, I didn't know I didn't know I was going to take to it the way I did. It makes sense. I did it when I loved biking when I was in junior high and high school. But I never thought about it from a fitness perspective. I thought about it from a freedom perspective, back then. And, you know, I feel free. When I ride my bike, I can't even describe it. It's, life is simpler on top of two wheels, man. It's, you know, you're concentrating on your breathing, the direction, the traffic, the world around you, outside, breathing in fresh air, going from, you know, from place to place to place to place to place. Especially with distance, like I don't really do much. I don't, when I go out for my big rides, I don't do anything less than 30 miles. Last week I did 30, the week before that I did 45, week before that I did 55, you know, the reason it's been going, the distance has been going down is because I've been focusing on climbs. I'm climbing on a bike is
taking on more of a challenge.
Exactly. It's more challenging. The idea is constantly to challenge yourself, constantly to push yourself. honestly, the happiest people that I've ever met continually push themselves. Wherever that is, I have that when it comes to work. I continuously push myself with work. Mm-hmm. I have that with, you know, with cycling. I continuously push myself.
Always been a very ambitious guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, now I actually have the tools to actually realize that ambition. It's not about the goal, right? It's about the journey. Look, back in 2015, 2016, right before my daughter was born, I sort of embraced Buddhist philosophy. And one of the main things that really struck a chord with me is the fact that it's not about the destination. In walking meditations, it's not about the destination. It's about where you are right now and the actual journey. You know, every time that you make a step, you're arriving at the next waypoint, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this idea of focusing on the journey rather than where you want to get to. Yeah, you have a goal. Yeah, you have that, this and that. But really, it's about the journey to that goal. And once you get to that goal, it becomes another journey. You know, you set a new goal.
Absolutely.
And it helps. It helps with anything. That kind of mentality really helps with anything that you're really works in anything that you're doing.
And this is not just a life changing thing to make you healthy. It seems like just an overall. I mean, your overall vision of everything and experiences and just life. You on life has changed.
Oh man, it so has. You know, I don't sweat the small stuff so much. I don't sweat, you know, petty drama.
When there was a bigger picture that came.
Yeah.
That's how it goes, right? There needs to be that certain thing that tips you over the edge.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, just it's a journey. Life is a journey, right? Same with all the smaller journeys within that journey, you know?
Yeah. Unbelievable. So so what's next, really? Just keep at what you've got until victory?
Well, Grand Fondo, you know, Grand Fondo's in September. That's the, I think my time at, Using my time at Tour, we're talking about, I think, 4 hours, 45 minutes to 65 miles. That's just moving time. With Fondo, it's a little bit different. So if I match that, I've beaten it, really, because, you know, there's 3,000 more feet of elevation at Fondo. The other thing is I've gotten, again with cycling, I've gotten involved with American Diabetes Association, so I've really gotten, you know, I've become active with that. I'm doing that's going to be an ongoing thing. I'm doing a fundraiser in a couple weeks at a restaurant by me, and you know, we're going to go with that and see what happens. Fondo, actually, this is what I was getting into, because of the involvement with ADA, I registered for Fondo as part of the ADA's Team Diabetes, basically a group of diabetic riders that's actually doing courses, different routes during Garden State Grand Fondo. I always need a cause. And it seems like I found the cause.
Mm-hmm. And they keep on coming.
Yep. And so from a health standpoint, I'm just continuing to do what I did. I actually had to change my diet a little bit. I was really not eating a whole lot of carbs, and eating virtually no sugar. You're not going to be able to avoid sugars in certain things. Not getting stuff with sugar added or anything like that, getting whole foods, that sort of thing. But I've really had to, I've had to change my diet a little bit as my activity level gets more and more extreme. I'm just gonna do 35 miles this week, honey. You know, this is what I say. Well, this is what I say to my wife.
Piece of cake now, yeah, exactly. Right.
I had my doctor told me you have to add carbs back in. You have to add carbs back into your diet.
Oh, really?
Especially especially when you're talking about. Well, it has to do with giving the body fuel.
Yeah.
If I don't do that, I will fail. Like my body will, like, that's really screwing with your endocrine system if you don't give your body enough fuel before activity. So like in the morning, before I do one of these rides, I will have two or three eggs, and I will have a bowl of oatmeal. It's like regular steel cut oatmeal, with some blueberries, because I need the carbs.
I would imagine, especially if you're cycling so much and for as long as you are, you got to be pulling in more energy.
Right. So the day of tour, it was really funny. I hadn't had peanut butter and jelly. I love peanut butter, but I hadn't had peanut butter and jelly forever. Like, I hadn't had it in like over a year and a half. And I had peanut butter and jelly. I had two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches while I was at tour, and my blood sugar didn't go. And this was the other thing. At the end of tour, I had a beer. Why did I have a beer? Because God damn it, I fucking deserved it.
Absolutely.
But what was really funny was my blood sugar didn't go over 85. I got back in the car to test my blood sugar after the beer, and it was 85. It was 85.
Yeah. So it hardly, you know what, and you have still have the willpower to then not be like, oh, well, I can have another one. Why not?
Exactly. So
that's huge.
Right. Because it's not about, here's the thing with this. It's not about, look, we get all wrapped up. All right. I'm going to stand on my soapbox for a minute. We as Americans eat like assholes and drink like assholes. All the time, we overeat. We have you talk to people. People come here from Europe and they go to, like, say, Olive Garden, and the plates are gigantic and the portion sizes are gigantic, and you have people eating full portions of this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just using Olive Garden's example. My aunt lives in England, and she was in here last year, and we ended up going to Olive Garden, and she said, "Wow, that's a lot of food." But you know, I know that for a fact. Like, we are taught from an early age that more is better. Now, more isn't always better.
But you thought that for how many years?
Right. Until you had to change. Exactly. It's socialization. We're taught that from an early age, and it's not always the healthiest thing, healthiest way of thinking. You know, I think that I'd like to think that our generation is going to be the ones to figure that out.
Closer, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I eat a certain way because I need to, because it's a health issue. But there's a reason that 30 million Americans have diabetes. You know, and like I pass that, and this is something that sort of gives me a mild bit of anxiety. The fact that my wife had gestational diabetes and I have type 2 diabetes makes Devin, my kid, something like 75% more likely to develop diabetes sometime in her life.
Oh, wow.
The it's ridiculous. The chances, it really is. It's a risk, man. It's an absolute risk.
And you know what, but it is. I mean, now that you've made the changes, and now she's young enough where now, since your whole life has changed and your manners, everything you're doing, now that gets passed along to her rather than your previous habits that could have caused an even bigger issue for her early on.
Exactly.
But now you're nipping that in the bud as well.
Exactly. Some, you know, one of this idea that I am who I am. I'm not just me. I don't exist in a vacuum. I am who I am because I because of my mom and my dad and my stepdad and my uncle, my aunt, my whole family. I am who I am because all of those people are who they are. That's the same thing with my daughter.
Yeah.
So she is learning how to be a human from somebody who has a much better grasp of things now. Mm-hmm. than I did, let's say, 10 years ago. Proof is in the pudding, man. It's going to take time, but I'll see how that goes.
So, I mean, with everything, I mean, is there anything left that you'd still change? Even, I mean, anything work-related, anything in your life that you'd still change?
I wish I could work remotely 100% of the time because my diabetes was very, very commuting back and forth and the schedule that I keep. It can be challenging at times to manage diabetes. Because of 287 being 287. For those of you across the country, Interstate 287 is the worst road in humanity.
Take it every day.
Take it every day, man. It gets worse and worse. Changing daycares was a good idea for us because it's now close to home. Mm-hmm. I don't first have to go to Old Bridge and then back here.
See, we're avoiding daycares for as long as possible. I mean, hearing about Baby Fight Club and children dying, and it's terrible. I mean, I know that's not everywhere, and obviously there's plenty of places that can be trusted, but it just, I don't know, man, it scares the hell out of us.
One of the things that I've really had to do is get past trust issues. Mm-hmm. My kid does really well at daycare. They have cameras in the daycare that you can access all day long and check in. They send pictures. I'm one of these super engaged dads that, you know, I know that my kid has two other girls at school she hangs out with, and she sort of stopped hanging out with them to hang out with this boy. Like because I see it, like I saw it happen, and I'm fine with that. Like, she's two, it's fine, I'm cool, you know. But it's one of these things you have to, it's a socialization thing, and she gets with more kids, and she's learning how to be a human, and I really am a fan of the daycare that she goes to. So, because, you know, I see her blossoming, and she's a super smart kid. Like, she's really smart. We were talking about, we went to, on my birthday this year, we went to Liberty Science Center to see, to do some Apollo 11 stuff. Cause mm-hmm. I'm a huge space nerd, like huge NASA nerd. So we went there and we did the stuff, and she had already been introduced to a lot of the Apollo 11 imagery, like the Saturn V rocket. She knows that. She has a stuffed Saturn V rocket that we got at Robert Novin's planetarium at Ocean County Community College when we were there for Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So when I was watching, I had on the Apollo 11 documentary, and she sees the Saturn V and she goes, "Rocket goes to the moon." Boom!
It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, man. Awesome. Anyway.
Well, that's great, man. I'm so happy to hear that everything is going great. It's unbelievable. Seeing pictures and stuff like that. Do you, I know you post a lot of pics. I mean, did you have a blog too?
I do, and it's funny that you mentioned that. I haven't posted in a while. I've been kind of a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, is an author, and we've written. We're compulsive writers, both of us. So what I started to actually think about is putting these stories that I have from cycling and my journey through health into an actual book. But you can find me on Medium. I have the series is called the not so little engine that could. and you could go find me on Medium. I'll post it publicly on my Facebook and my Twitter. My Twitter is at Russ_McKenzie. You can check it out. You can check it out there.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll probably take a picture if it's all right. I know you put up a pretty good before and after one yourself.
Yeah, I can send you.
I'm still building the Make Life Social following. I got about three other Instagram pages that are in like the 200s or something nice. Like that. Now this nice. One I've got to actually start working. Now the podcast is out and everything like that, I can start building up the following there. But yeah, I'll probably post a picture like that so everybody can get an idea of what's going on. And yeah, sure. I mean, it's definitely been a change. It's been an unbelievable thing to see. It's extremely happy for you.
Yeah, man. It's not over. The journey continues, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Russ. Well, thanks so much, man, for taking the time to do this. You know, taking a break from cycling nonstop. You know, to chat for a little while.
Yeah, no worries, man.
At some point, yeah, we'll definitely have to get together because I don't think you're too far from where I'm at now.
No, I'm over in Somerset, so I'm like right off the exit on Somerset. And,
yeah.
Over by Davidson Avenue and
okay.
all that. So I'm not I'm not too far from you at all. We're definitely gonna need to meet up.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, we definitely will.
Okay, before you let me go, one of the soapbox sure. moment.
Okay.
Don't be nice to cyclists. They're soft and squishy. If you're in a car, be nice to cyclists.
I saw you just posted about that too. It's yeah, as a non-cyclist, I mean, it's tough sometimes.
Just,
you know, I mean, I understand, you know, respect for the road and everything like that. And obviously, yeah, it's a lot easier for you guys to get hurt than someone in a car.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll pass that along, and I'll make sure I take that into account myself.
Yeah, be nice. The 30 seconds won't kill you.
That's, you know what, you're right.
All right.
That's a good way to look at it. It's not that much of time. You're not going to be that late.
Exactly. Anyway,
all right, Russ.
Thank you again, Mike. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, man. All right, talk to you soon, man.
Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.